Good morning, and welcome to Truth Unchanged and Unchanging, the radio ministry of First Church of Merrimack, New Hampshire. We'll have more information on our church at the end of today's program. Today, Pastor Matthew Judd is continuing his series of messages on the Ten Commandments. Today's sermon is titled, The Fifth Commandment, Caring for Parents in Old Age, and is based on 1 Timothy 5, verses 1 through 8, and Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 14. Please listen with me now to Pastor Judd.
Turn with me to our first scripture reading tonight, 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. And as we prepare to hear the word of God, let us pray. Our gracious Lord and God, may we never tire of calling upon your name, seeking the illuminating power of the Holy Spirit to enlighten our hearts and minds so that we might see Jesus Christ in your word. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your precepts and your commands, which are true and righteous altogether. And we thank you for your grace in the gospel of our Savior, your Son. Cause your word then to bear fruit in our lives, even as we hear it, as we hide it in our hearts, and as we practice it in our lives. We ask these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 through 8, this is God's word. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters with all purity. Honor widows who are really widows. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Now she, who is really a widow and left alone, trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. And these things command that they may be blameless. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Thus far our reading of God's word in 1 Timothy, and then invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. We'll read verses 1 through 14. As we see between 1 Timothy chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 15, that God's intention is that children would care for their aging parents. There's a lot more in these passages than just this, but we want to focus upon this particular truth tonight. Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." He answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother.' And he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God,' then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, 'Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man.' Then his disciples came and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?' But he answered and said, 'Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch.'" Having heard the word of God, well, what is your response, congregation? Dear people of God, we have spent several weeks looking at the fifth commandment as we have been working our way through the Ten Commandments in our evening sermon series. And we have seen that the fifth commandment has particular application for little children still in the home. Excuse me. We also saw last week that the fifth commandment is for bigger children, for children who have grown into their maturity and even into adulthood. And so we have seen that the fifth commandment, to honor father or mother, to honor father and mother, is applicable to both little children and grown children, even from infancy to old age. But tonight we want to particularly see that as we age as children, God has a calling for us to care for our aging parents, and that this is an explicit word which God indeed would give to us, that as grown children who have aging parents, we are to see to it that we care for them in their old age. And we first see this in Matthew chapter 15, the passage which we have just read. And we have here a complaint which is brought to the Lord Jesus by the Pharisees that his disciples are not following the tradition of the elders, that they are not washing their hands in a particular way when they return from the marketplace, presuming that perhaps they touched goods in the marketplace which had been touched by unclean Gentiles. The need was to come back home and to wash your hands in a special way, hand over fist, in a particular way, according to the tradition of the elders, so that you would not be defiled ceremonially anymore. And so this complaint comes to the Lord Jesus Christ from the Pharisees, but these are particularly Pharisees from Jerusalem. This is taking place in Galilee, but these religious leaders have come from the capital city up to Galilee in order to investigate and in order to scrutinize the Lord Jesus Christ, who is growing immensely in popularity in terms of his ministry there. And Jesus responds to them, and in fact turns the tables on them by addressing their tradition in relationship to the commandment of God. And we read in verse 3, Jesus answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition?" And here Jesus juxtaposes God's commands on the one hand with the traditions of men on the other hand, and he thereby sets a significant contrast between them. He says, God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father and mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. It is here that we see that the tradition of the elders had allowed grown children to pronounce their property as dedicated unto God in such a way that it conveniently allowed them to be unable to use their property or their material wealth to support an aging parent. This was a practice which was called korban. Korban, you can see that word actually used in Mark chapter 7 and verse 11 in the parallel passage which is there. But what exactly was korban? The word korban literally means gift. And it has to do with vowing a gift unto God. And so it particularly has a reference to Leviticus chapter 27, that there were times in a true follower of the one true God, times in his or her life where he might vow a particular portion of his wealth or of his property or of his goods unto the Lord, so that it would no longer be his or hers, but that it would come underneath of the oversight of the Levites who cared for the temple precincts. And so you had a situation in the Old Testament where vows were properly made. But by the time of the first century, a tradition had grown up that you could vow certain portions of your wealth or certain portions of your goods or property to the Lord and still hold on to them until you died. So you can imagine then what that situation looked like. You vow $25,000 to the Lord And yet you don't have to pay it until you actually die. So the $25,000 is still underneath of your control until the moment that you die. But then you can imagine another scenario that a need arises and that you have perhaps an elderly mother who is widowed and she has particular physical needs and she has particular life needs that a son would ordinarily take care of in terms of his aging mother, his aging widowed mother. The son then actually seeing the needs of his mother, says to his mother, well, I would love to help you out. And it would be a tremendous thing to do so, but I can't. Unfortunately, I can't because you see this $25,000, which I would have used to help you out, is Korban. It is dedicated and devoted unto the Lord. And therefore, I just don't have the wherewithal. I don't have the resources to be able to help you at this particular time. Would love to do so, but Mom, I'm really sorry. Can't do anything about it because this is Korban. Now, there's actually a whole number of traditions which were developed by the first century and by this time, traditions of the elders, which worked in these sorts of what we might almost consider crazy ways, loopholes almost. Because the very unusual thing about this would be that you still had control of that $25,000 while you lived, and you could actually use it, even though it was dedicated to the Lord. So if you died without the $25,000, then lo and behold, you didn't have to pay the $25,000 because it was still yours until you actually died. And so in this way, Jesus takes to task the religious leaders of his day in terms of their traditions overrunning the commandment of God. Overrunning the commandment of God. You can think of another example, and this was common as well. Perhaps a son has an extra guest room in his house. Well, you could actually devote just that guest room as Korban to the temple precincts. And you say, now, how does that work, right? How does that work that the guest room is on my property, but I'm devoting it to the Lord as Korban to the temple precincts? Well, the way in which it worked is you would hold on to that guest room. You would hold on to that guest room until you died, and then your property would be sold, and that guest room, whatever proportion of the estate it was, that money, that proportion of the estate would then be given to the temple precinct. So you can imagine that, you know, again, a widowed mother loses her own home, isn't able to live on her own anymore, isn't able to live independently. Son says, well, I have this wonderful guest room and I would love for you to come and to move in with us so that we could take care of you, but we can't do it because it's Korban. It is devoted to the Lord and it can't be used by anybody except by me and my wife and my children. It won't apply to parents. Only my immediate family can still use it while it's in my possession. And because it's devoted to the Lord, sorry, Mom, we just can't have you come and live with us. Now, you can imagine the ire of the Lord Jesus Christ in terms of encountering traditions like this. In Mark's Gospel, in Mark 7, he says, and many such things you do, in terms of the traditions of the elders, which were running roughshod over the commandments of God. And it is here, then, that the clear command to care for elderly parents was being undermined. And Jesus, and this is the only time in the Gospels that he addresses the fifth commandment directly, Jesus addresses the fifth commandment with a particular application that children have the responsibility to care for aging parents. So we see there's a lot more going on in this passage than just that truth, but I don't want us to miss that truth as we think about the fifth commandment. That Jesus is in his entire earthly ministry of 3.5 years, when he had occasion to address the particular details of the fifth commandment, he put his finger on honoring father and mother, particularly in their old age as they advance in years and can no longer care for themselves. Jesus doesn't put his finger on little children in the home. That's normally how we think about the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Jesus puts his finger on grown children who have parents who can no longer take care of themselves. In fact, Jesus says to fail to see that the fifth commandment applies in this way to you as a grown child with aging parents is the equivalent of cursing your father or mother. And that's what he says explicitly here in verse 4, that this is how the tradition of the elders is steamrolling the commandments of God. That what really should be taking place, Jesus says, is that those who fail to take care of their aging, needy parents are susceptible to, are subject to the very sanction of the law which is against them, which is the equivalent of you cursing your parents. And what's interesting is in Exodus chapter 21 and verse 17, the sanction of the law is that this breach of the fifth commandment is worthy of capital punishment. Wow. So Jesus really emphasizes that to not care for your aging father and mother in their time of need, and to not see that responsibility as from the Lord, and to not see that you need the Lord's empowering grace for you to do this, is the equivalent of committing a sin against the fifth commandment, which is worthy of execution. And that should take our breath away as we think about the far-reaching implications of the fifth commandment. In fact, Jesus says it's equivalent to dishonoring God, and it reveals you to be not a true follower of God, but to be that special breed of follower called hypocrite. That's what he tells these ones. You're hypocrites. You say one thing and you do another. Perhaps we could think of Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 24 in this regard. Whoever robs his father or mother and says, "It's no transgression," the same as a companion to a destroyer. And here the idea is not so much of sneaking into dad and mom's room and stealing mom's engagement ring and going to the pawn shop and getting money for it, although I'm sure that Proverbs 28 could apply there too. But you're withholding that which is due unto father and mother in their advancing years, in their elderly years of need. And so Jesus would tell us tonight that the fifth commandment isn't just for little children, isn't just for children who are growing into maturity and into adulthood, isn't just for children as they move into their adult years, but it applies to us even to the advancing years of our parents. And so we might be 50, 55, 60, 65, 70 years old as we still have living father or living mother, and the fifth commandment is still applying in a very specific way. And so we see this in Matthew chapter 15. We also see this in 1 Timothy chapter 5. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, it's a passage, we read it, verses 1 through 8, which is speaking specifically about the care of widows, the care for widows within the context of the life of the church. And it is very interesting here that God tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 through 8, that the primary care for aging parents falls on the shoulders of children. So that's what we read here. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, Let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. And here we see that there's a responsibility not only of children to care for aging parents, but if the child dies before the parent dies, that responsibility is then passed on to the grandchildren to care for the aging one who can no longer take care of herself. And God gives here, as it were, a motivation for us. He says, this is good and acceptable before God. We could translate that, this is good and well-pleasing before God. Acceptable sounds like, okay, we almost just make the mark. But it's really the word well-pleasing. This is that which pleases the Lord. And he encourages us, motivates us, even with that word there as well. And then as we continue to read in 1 Timothy chapter 5, we read that if anyone does not provide for his own, and here the idea is not providing for your children, it's the idea of providing for your parents. If anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And so again, we see the far-reaching implications of the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. Now, obviously, 1 Timothy 5 also says if there are no children, no grandchildren, it's the responsibility of the church to care for aging widows in that particular context. But tonight, my point is to tease out the responsibility and the duties that are incumbent upon children as their parents age and advance in years. And so, both Matthew chapter 15, as well as 1 Timothy chapter 5, very clearly set forth this duty and this responsibility. Jesus is clear, and the Apostle Paul, as he writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is very clear with regard to the implications of the fifth commandment in these particular contexts. So what I want to do now as we try to tease this out a bit more practically is to challenge us to think about how our culture views aging parents, even the elderly, and how the church views the elderly and aging parents, and to get us to think. I don't have at my disposal prescriptions tonight to tell you exactly how all the details of this works itself out. But I want us to think, a little bit about our general attitude towards the elderly in relationship to these responsibilities which Christ sets forth very clearly in the fifth commandment. Some of the things that I want us to think about are these. The first one is this. There is an American value, in fact, I would even call it an American ideal, which goes like this. I want to live independently for as long as possible. Now, you may have not heard it exactly in those words, but that is something which is often of a high priority in our culture that we find ourselves in. The value, the important value of living independently for as long as possible. I am not saying that that is wrong. I'm not saying that that is right. What I am saying is that we should pause to think about how that sort of thinking in the culture in which we live affects the way in which we view those who are aging and how it affects the way in which we view our parents as they age, and the idea of living independently versus living interdependently. Again, I'm not trying to make judgments on these things, but I just want us to think about, okay, how would this responsibility of caring for aging parents, for elderly parents, intersect with this cultural value of living independently for as long as possible. You know, so one way in which you could respond to that might say, well, as a child of an aging mother or aging father and mother, perhaps I should see to it that my father or mother can live independently as long as is safely possible. In other words, that you see this as a high priority, see this as something which would be good, that my father or mother doesn't lose his or her independence prematurely. Another way in which you could respond to that might be that, well, maybe we need to have conversations sooner rather than later about what it means to actually talk about plans for you as you can't care for yourself in a safe manner as easily as you once did. So, again, this is a category to think about. How do we intersect and interact with that American value which we encounter in the culture in which we live? The second item which I would have us to think about, to pause and to think about, is the advent of 55-plus communities. This is something which over the last 4.5 to 5 decades has begun to increase in terms of developments of communities which are particularly geared to those who are more elderly. And again, I'm not trying to pass judgment one way or another on 55-plus communities. My mother lives in a 55-plus community in the state of Delaware, in Dover, Delaware. All I want us to think about is how does this rise and this proliferation of 55-plus communities over the last 4 to 5 decades, how does this interrelate with the idea of caring for parents as they age? We live in a society which tends to segregate age groups, and it might be a question, is this another attempt to slice and dice up humanity in our culture, where we are segregating people from different age groups into their own categories? There may be certain positives in terms of 55-plus communities, certain amenities suited to needs and interests of those who are aging. But again, to think through how do we value the elderly and their input to those who are still younger? How do we value their interaction with the generations which are still rising up? Another category to think about as well is the advent of assisted care facilities, where these, again, have multiplied and propagated significantly within the last 4 to 5 decades. Indeed, up until several decades ago, assisted care facilities tended to be quite rare. There were skilled nursing facilities, but kind of the intermediary assisted care facilities didn't really exist. Now, maybe they've come into existence because there's a significant legitimate need, and that's why they exist. But let's not just blindly accept that. Let's think through it. Let's think through it as the people of God carefully in light of the implications of the requirements of the fifth commandment and the requirement to care for aging parents. What is the role of nursing homes? Certainly nursing homes, skilled nursing homes, have a place and they have a need in terms of caring for aging and elderly in specific situations. But nursing homes have certainly multiplied significantly again in the last 50 years. And as nursing homes have multiplied, assisted care facilities have multiplied, perhaps they have met a niche need in terms of those who are growing in age as population is living longer and things along those lines. But none of those just observations should just be blindly accepted by the people of God. We need to have our minds, as it were, transformed by the renewing of our minds by the Word of God. And we need to interact with these things in a manner in which we are being careful to seek out wisdom from the Lord in terms of how to use these resources or how not to use these resources. A disturbing statistic, which I came across several years ago when I was still living in New York State, was the fact that 90% of elderly people died either in the hospital or in a certified nursing facility. So this would have been in the year 2012. So 90% of the elderly died either in a hospital or in a certified nursing facility. That's an awfully high number, particularly when you think about that for centuries, for millennia, people ordinarily died where? They died at home. And New York State has an interesting requirement that if you don't die in a hospital or in a certified nursing facility, New York State requires an autopsy to be done. And if you die at home, they require an autopsy to be done. So what should that be telling us? That somehow New York State has come to the conclusion that it is unusual to die at home, not ordinary, and sketchy. Whereas the right place to die is in the hospital or in a certified nursing facility. And again, these things kind of creep in, and we don't always give a whole lot of thought to them as Christians. We can be like the frog in the pot, not really thinking through these things as the water begins to turn up to a hotter temperature. And I just want to challenge us, hey, let's think through these things as the people of God, not just blindly follow what is going on around us in the culture. It is proper to struggle with the proper use of these sorts of resources when it comes to caring for aging parents. It is appropriate to ask the question, what might seem to be the most natural way of caring for aging parents, though not necessarily the easiest way of caring for them? We breathe the air of our society, we drink the water, and I just want to encourage us to slow down and to take some time to think about these things, to talk about them with your spouse, to talk about them with your parents. How do we honor father and mother as we care for them in their old age? I am the first one to admit that these things by definition are not easy. They're not easy to think through and to come to hard and fast conclusions on how we are going to put into practice the fifth commandment's requirement, which God sets before us in this. They're not easy. So as we close tonight, because these things aren't easy, and because these things are often very challenging, and because decisions which we make with regard to caring for elderly parents have huge ramifications, we should be brought to a certain place. Where should we be brought? We should be brought to see our need for wisdom which goes beyond what we naturally have. We should be brought to our knees to realize who is sufficient for these things. And there are a number of you here tonight who are right now caring for aging parents, and you are committed to that, and the amount of time and energy and resources which are involved in terms of the care for elderly parents is a great big, I'll use the word, burden. And who is sufficient for carrying these types of burdens? We realize that not one of us is sufficient for it. And that these sorts of questions and these sorts of responsibilities should drive us to our knees to seek the Lord, to cry out, Lord, help us. This is hard. This is difficult. What must I do? I need wisdom beyond what I have. And even as we think about God's law is not filled with mercy. God's law is high and holy, and we realize how far we fall short. We realize how far we fall short as parents raising our children. We realize how far we fall short as children who have disobeyed our parents when we were little. Children who have caused our parents to lose their hair when we got a little bit older. Children who have disobeyed our parents and have not always gone or in the direction which would honor them most. Children who have not followed their counsel. And children who then feel inadequate to the task of caring for our parents in their elderly years. And we sometimes have false guilt over these things, but very often we have real guilt. We've broken the fifth commandment. We've not honored father and mother like we should. And what do we do with that guilt? Well, that's where we end tonight, right? We end all being guilty. Well, that's a bummer. But where does that lead us? That leads us to Christ. That leads us to see our need of Christ, our need of his broken body, our need of his shed blood for children who have sinned against parents, for children who are inadequate to the task of what it means to care for dad and mom as they advance in years, for children who can't do it without the Lord, for children who desperately need a heavenly Father who cares for us, a Savior who walks with us, a Holy Spirit who dwells in us so that we might consider our ways. We might seek the Lord while he may be found. We might call upon him while he is near, and we might be confident that he hears our cries and that he will supply the wisdom which we need in difficult times, challenging circumstances, and hard responsibilities. If anything, the Ten Commandments are practical. And, you know, tonight we're getting at some of the practical realities of how do we do this? It's not my job to micromanage it for you. But it is my job as God's spokesman to call you to seek the wisdom which is hidden in Christ. For in him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And in him is sufficiency for what you need in terms of these matters. And God has given us one another, whereby we can assist one another. We can bounce things off of one another in the community of faith, get input from other believers, find out how other believers who've already gone through caring for aging parents have done it, what went well, what didn't go so well, where there are regrets and where there are joys and thanksgivings because of the way in which God has worked. So we come to the last sermon on the fifth commandment tonight, and we see that it has application, yes, even for the oldest saint here tonight, in terms of honoring your father and your mother. May the Lord drive us to himself as we see that these things are too big for us, but they are not too big for him. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, we need encouragement tonight to seek you in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to seek the empowering work of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Father, we pray that we would hear your word and that you would seal it to our hearts and that we would truly practice it in our lives. Help us to see the practical implications of caring for our parents, honoring them at every stage of our lives. And help us to see that this care is well-pleasing in your sight. And surely if it's well-pleasing in your sight for children to care for their aging parents, then it is well-pleasing in your sight to give us the resources that we need in order to do so, as we walk by faith, trusting in Jesus Christ. Pardon us, Lord, of all of our sins, where we have broken the fifth commandment, and help us, even this day, to be renewed in repentance and obedience to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today for our message entitled, The Fifth Commandment, Caring for Parents in Old Age. Since we have a few minutes left on today's program, I'd like to read a few thoughts from James Smith, a preacher from the 19th century. Mr. Smith focuses on why Jesus Christ is altogether lovely. He writes, "The Lord Jesus Christ is God. He possesses all divine attributes and is entitled to all divine honors. He is one with the Father and the Holy Spirit, God over all, the blessed forevermore. He says, 'I am Jehovah, and beside me there is no Savior.' He is God, and there is no other. There is no other name given under heaven or among men whereby we can be saved. He is the Rock of Ages. He is the infinite, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, gracious, just, holy, and unchangeable I am. Angels worship him, devils obey him, saints love him, and sinners will bow to him. He is the author of creation, providence, redemption, and glorification. He is exalted above all and remains king forever. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the only supreme lawgiver of the universe. He is naturally, essentially, and eternally God, one with the Father and with the Holy Spirit, equal to the Father and to the Holy Spirit, infinite as the Father and as the Holy Spirit. As such, he loves all his people. Yes, he is love to them. As such, they love him and trust their eternal interest into his hands. He is all-loving. Yes, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. This is my friend." Song of Solomon 5:16. "Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end." John 13, verse 1.
Thank you for tuning in this morning for Truth Unchanged and Unchanging. We hope you will join us again next Saturday. The First Church of Merrimack is an Orthodox Presbyterian church located in southern New Hampshire. If you would like to learn more about us, you can find us online at fcmnh.org. Once again, that is fcmnh.org. If you do not have a home church, we cordially invite you to visit us at First Church. Our meeting house is located at 7 Babuzik Lake Road in Merrimack, New Hampshire, directly across from Merrimack Town Hall. And now, quoting from our church's first covenant of 1771, "To God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be ascribed exalted praises. Amen."